Now, I'm reading it from the International Children's Bible, so it's not quite the same as the ones in under the seats. And children, we've got some pictures on the screen as well as I read this. So it's a story all about that Jesus told, all about forgiveness and forgiving others. Then Peter, one of Jesus' disciples, came to Jesus and asked, "Lord, when my brother sins against me, how many times must I forgive him? Should I forgive him as many as 7 times? Jesus answered, "I tell you, you must forgive him more than 7 times. You must forgive him even if he does wrong to you 70 times 7. Jesus went on, "The kingdom of heaven is like a king who decided to collect the money his servants owed him. So the king began to collect his money. One servant owed him several million pounds, but the servant did not have enough money to pay his master, the king. So the master ordered that everything the servant owned should be sold, even the servant's wife and children. The money would be used to pay the king what the servant owed. But the servant fell on his knees and begged, "Oh, be patient with me. I will pay you everything I owe." Well, the master, the king, felt sorry for his servant. So the master told the servant he did not have to pay, and he let the servant go free. Later, that same servant found another servant who owed him a few pounds. The servant grabbed the other servant around the neck and said, "Pay me the money you owe me." The other servant fell on his knees and begged him, "Oh, be patient with me. I will pay you everything I owe." But the first servant refused to be patient. He threw the second servant into prison until he could pay everything he owed. Now all the other servants saw what happened, and they were very sad. So they went and told their master all that had happened. Then the master called his servant in and said, "You evil servant, you begged me to forget what you owed. So I told you that you did not have to pay anything. I had mercy on you. You should have had the same mercy on that other servant." And the master was very angry, and he put the servant in prison to be punished. The servant had to stay in prison until he could pay everything he owed. And Jesus says, "This king did what my heavenly Father will do to you if you do not forgive your brother from the heart." Well, Helena is going to come, and she's going to help us to understand what Jesus means when he says we're to forgive others as we've been forgiven. She's going to come to the front. Children, actually, if you want to come to the front as well, and do you want to come and sit down here, you can bring a grown-up with you as well, so it's easier for you to see what's going on. Children, do you want to come down back down to the front and see what's going on? And let me move these objects out of the way. Micah, can you sit on the floor here looking that way? Lovely. Thank you very much. Other children, if you want to come down to the front, things for you to do. Or it can just be Micah on his own, that's fine. Great, do you want to come and sit down here? Well done. Great, you come and sit down here. Well done, I'm going to sit on the floor as well.
Yes, thanks. Good morning. It's lovely to be here with you. I'm Helena, if you haven't met me yet. What we're looking at is Jesus' stories. No, you want the slide. Jesus, forgive us. That's it. Brilliant. And one of the things that Jesus really, really loved doing was telling stories. And the purpose of the stories that he told was to make us think about ourselves and what we do and why we do them and the consequences of them. So I'm going to use a modern parable this morning. So if we can have the video now. It's one that you will all recognize.
Cadburyness baked in.
Okay, thank you. We actually missed the very start of that. At the very start of the story, you have the boy in the kitchen at home getting ready for school, and he's rummaging around in the cupboards, and his parents are watching, and his father is watching very lovingly, wondering what the son is going to do. And then we go to the playground. Now, the playground is a picture of the world that we live in. And there's lots of noise, and there's lots of activity. And we all know that the world is very busy. We go to the shops to buy our food. I'm going to be going right across this, so you need to do something with the camera. Thank you. Okay. We go to the shops to buy the food to put on the table. We go to the shops to buy the food to put on the table. Some of us do a bit more than that. It's really difficult with these lines. I go to the shops, I go to work. I go to the shops, I go to work. Go to the shops, I go to work. I go to the shops, I go to work. Life's getting busier, isn't it? But I have friends as well, so they need to be put into the mix. This might not work. Hey. Shops work food, shops work food, shops work food. But there are other things that we start adding into it. We're Christians, aren't we? So we've got church to throw into the mix as well. There are lots and lots of other things that we throw into our busy lives. But the parable, the story, is telling us that the son of the father is actually busy over here at the side of the playground. And at the side of the playground, there is a boy sitting on the bench by himself. We've all been there, haven't we? We know what it means to feel lonely, to feel that we don't belong, feel that other people don't think like us. Maybe to feel guilty because we've done something to hurt someone else. Or maybe we feel that we have been bullied and we have nowhere to turn. Or maybe even that we feel abused. And we sit on the edge and we feel alone. And then the son of the father, Jesus, joins them on the bench. And he slides across the bench, a peace offering. The peace offering for Jesus is not a box of Cadbury chocolates, unfortunately. Or fortunately, what he slides across to us, what he presents to us, is his own sacrifice. The fact that he died on the cross in order to make peace between himself and his father and us as we sit on the other end of the bench. And the boy on the bench accepts the peace offering. And they no longer sit side to side, not looking at each other. They now sit facing each other. But I'm going to take that story a little bit further. I'm going to say, actually, imagine if that boy then says, let's go and play. And the lonely boy says, oh yeah, I've been wanting someone to play with. I'll come with you. And he picks up the bench. He picks up the bench and wants to play with Jesus? We do this all the time. And Jesus will tell us we can't join the kingdom if we are still carrying that load. But the lonely boy, you and I, will do things like this. We will say, but you don't know what he said to me. You don't know how much she hurt me. I prayed and I prayed, but you didn't answer my prayer. They don't deserve to be forgiven. What they did was horrible. I don't want to forgive. And Jesus says, on his second slide, Will, Jesus says, that burden is too heavy for you to carry. I have already died for those sins. Don't let me carry them again. Come to me. I will take that burden. And I will give something to you that is light and easy to carry. The real action in the playground is not with the busyness. The real action is in the reconciliation, is in the peacemaking. We didn't use the common book of prayer, confession, but in the confession it says we sin through ignorance, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault. If we can go back to Father, forgive us. Thank you. We sin in ignorance because we don't think we need to be forgiven. We sin in ignorance because we don't realize that Jesus has already died for those sins. We sin in ignorance because we accept not forgiving others. We sin in weakness because we know that all the busyness is distracting us from God. But we don't know how to navigate our way from this side of the playground to this side of the playground where Jesus is. And sometimes we sin through our own deliberate fault because we enjoy not forgiving someone else. We enjoy that busyness and it fulfills us. We're going to stop there for 3 minutes, 40 seconds, to be exact, because actually church can be that weakness, that can be that place of distraction where we don't have time to stop and think, what is God doing with me today in my life? So we're going to listen to a piece of music, and it's your opportunity to respond to whatever God is saying to you. Are you too busy? Are you busy with the wrong things? Are you harboring unforgiveness? Whatever it is that God is saying to you, now is your opportunity just to think and pray and allow God to speak to you, or allow you to talk to your children about what it means to be at peace with God. Some of us are very bad at just sitting, which is why I've put paper in all of the chairs. If you need paper to write on, if your children need to doodle, if you need to doodle whilst you spend time with God, then feel free. Mike has pens and paper, pens and pencils if you need them. So Alex, if we can play that piece of music. So it's just going to be a quiet time for us to think about, where are you in the story?
Thank you.
Thank you, Alex. I chose that music from Schindler's List very carefully. I'm going to talk now about a different form of reconciliation that we can be involved with. I think we've all been overwhelmed by the events that are happening in Afghanistan. We're all fearful about what the Taliban are going to do next. Particularly to Christians, before the events of recent weeks, Afghanistan was number two in the most dangerous place for Christians to live in the world. But I want to say categorically that God has not been airlifted out of Afghanistan because the Westerners have gone. Part of that reconciliation that we can be involved in is in the work for Care for Calais, that is, in particular, they're gathering shoes and coats. If Andy doesn't have a link, I have a link with Care for Calais and can get things to them. But there are things that we can be doing. We can be offering our homes. We, as a community, we can be offering support for Afghani refugees. But also there will be Hong Kong refugees heading to England as well. 80 years ago, Nazi Germany swept through Europe, spreading destruction and fear. And the daughter of a shopkeeper found herself involved in reconciliation work. First of all, as the family helped Jews to escape Europe into England, into America. And then when she was captured and ended up in a concentration camp, in the way that she told her fellow prisoners about the reconciliation that existed in God through Jesus, that Jesus had not run away, that he was there in the midst of the concentration camp. And she continued that ministry as she left the concentration camp and would go around the world telling people of how God had kept her safe. And she wrote a book called The Hiding Place. She knew what it was to be forgiven. And she knew that she had a ministry to tell other people that. But being able to forgive others was something that she had to learn. I'll just read these words taken back about what she did and what happened to her. After the war, she was speaking at a meeting about her experiences when a former guard at the camp approached her at the end, explaining who he was and how he had become a Christian. He stretched out his arm to shake Corrie's hand, but she felt she was not able to do so until something like an electric current went through her arm. This was the Holy Spirit enabling Corrie to forgive the man and shake his hand. Forgiveness is not something that we generate for ourselves, or feeling forgiven or being able to forgive other people. This is a work of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we need help for God to work in us and through us. At the end of the service, I'm going to be sitting down where I am the rest of the service. If you want someone to pray with or someone to talk with about what God is doing in your life or the things that you need to change in your life, then I'm happy to sit and talk with you and pray with you. I'm not a counselor, I'm not someone magic, I'm just another Christian who knows what it is to be forgiven and knows what it means to be taken on a journey to forgive others. Let's end where we started with this prayer. Father, forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Amen.